A lot of organizations here in our community are stepping up their efforts to meet the many, many needs that are emerging in the wake of COVID-19. And as we've talked about on this show on numerous occasions and are really focusing on this week, a lot of those needs have existed this whole time, or just being much more immediately aware of it now. Orange Literacy is based here in Chapel Hill, Carrboro. You can find them online at orangeliteracy.org. They have a number of programs all the time working with people to improve literacy. And they have, like everyone else, had to adapt their model in the wake of COVID-19. In many ways, just continuing adaptations that they were already in the process of making. Joined on the phone by Alice Denson, who is the executive director of Orange Literacy. Alice, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, Aaron, thank you for having me.
So how are you and how is Orange Literacy adapting to COVID-19? What changes are happening and what changes are not happening?
Well, let me just start by saying, you know, we have traditionally been we've traditionally used a model where we have classes meet in person. We have tutors meet one-on-one with students in person. And we've had to change all of that because of the stay-at-home orders. So we started about a week or two before the schools closed down. We were afraid that they would be, so we wanted to make some preparations. And we started to train our teachers and train our students on how to use some of the video conferencing software to be able to hold their classes online. And we also began to put more and more of our students into some online programs, that are kind of a self-paced program. And what we found is our students were eager to do this. A lot of our tutors were as well. So the transition has been much smoother than we had expected. And it's looking like, you know, something that we will continue to do in the future. One of the biggest problems for our students traditionally has been childcare and transportation. And by taking in on a class online, it solves both of those problems.
One of the things that I've kind of discovered very quickly about doing things online is there are obviously challenges that go along with it and challenges you may not necessarily expect until you get into it, but it also simultaneously opens up opportunities and gives you the chance to do things with students that you would never have been able to do or maybe never even thought of doing in a traditional one-on-one in-person or a classroom setting. Is that your experience too?
It has been. It has been. Now, granted, we have students that we have not been able to put online. There are some who don't have internet access or don't have the tools available to them to use. But we've tried to make it open it up as broadly as possible. We have some of our students who participate using their smartphones. We have other people who have computers or Chromebooks or, you know, equipment like that. And then we have some students whose skills are, you know, quite frankly, not high enough at this point for them to work easily online. But for those that who have, it has been eye-opening, both for them and for us.
What are you doing for students who don't have internet access or broadband access or maybe not even smartphones?
We're employing a model where it almost like correspondence school from 40 or 50 years ago, where we're putting together lessons for them. And our ABE GED coordinator, Diana Daniel Lorente, has actually been delivering those to people's houses and putting them on their porches, or at their doorstop or at their doors. And it's written material. It's, you know, hard copy material. And then they work on that and we rate them, you know, with how much time it took them, or it should take them to do those. And we count their hours that way. But it's a little old school, but it seems to be working.
I like the idea of combining the brand new technology and the old technology all together into one model.
We have to. We want people to continue because we want them, to use this time, especially if they are at home, whether they want to be or not. If they're at home and they have some time, then we want them to use that to learn more, to increase their learning.
Speaking with Alice Denson, Orange Literacy is the organization. OrangeLiteracy.org is the website if you want to learn more. And Alice, you and I were talking before we got started with this conversation that you obviously work with kids and students who are in the schools, but you also do adult education as well. And this is particularly important now because you've got parents who are having to shoulder a lot of the burden, a lot of additional burden for teaching students, and a lot of those parents may themselves be struggling with literacy, right?
Well, that's true. And, or with English language skills as well.
Mm-hmm.
Literacy is a multi-generational, or illiteracy is a multi-generational problem. If your parents were not literate, then they're not reading to you, they're not working with you, chances are your skills will be low, and the same thing will happen with your children. And it just continues on and on. So a lot of these parents who have low literacy skills or have limited English skills are now their children's primary teachers. They're the ones who are making sure the kids are doing what they're supposed to be for the school while they're at home. And if the parents don't understand it, can't help with it, then the kids are going to be falling behind. And that widens that gap again between those in the community who are well-educated and those who have literacy problems.
So what is Orange Literacy doing to help address that? And kind of larger question, what can our community do to address that? What needs to be done on a larger scale to address that?
I think short term, it's very limited what we can do to really address that, other than keeping our students going and keeping them working and keeping them in class and making it easy for them to ask questions of their tutors. That might be helpful. In the longer term, we just need to make sure that we continue to ensure that everyone has a chance to build their literacy skills, that this is something that's open and available to everyone in the community who wants and needs it.
Speaking again with Alice Denson, OrangeLiteracy.org is the website. Obviously, everyone has different experiences and different perspectives. Everyone's dealing with and adapting to this situation in their own ways, and everyone is experiencing different things and learning different things. What has this experience, just the last month or so of having to make all of these transitions very quickly and all of the issues that it's bringing out, what has this experience taught you?
Well, it's taught us that we need to open up in what we're doing and make sure we're including everything out there that's possible to help our students. We have, as I mentioned earlier, we traditionally did in person, but our students are so open to the technology that we need to bring it in and we need to make it possible for them. And that's going to require us to invest a bit more in the technology side of what we're doing. But I think the payoff for our students will be tremendous.
So Orange Literacy will end up looking different in the future after we're on the other side of COVID-19?
I think everyone will. But yes, I do think we'll look a little different. And I welcome that. I think this is going to be a good change. Not one that we would have chosen to happen in the way that it did, but I think it'll be good.
Anything else that people need to know about Orange Literacy, the work that you're doing, how people can get involved or help out if they want to?
We always look for new tutors. We always look for new volunteers who can help us, and help to guide us through some of this. We always look for donors. Technology gets to be expensive, and we are going to need to invest in a lot more of that. Keep supporting us. We've had such a wonderful supportive community for as long as I've known. So I just ask that you continue to support us.
And for people who might want to get in touch with you to use the services that you offer, what are all of those services and how can they do that?
We offer tutoring and one-on-one or small group instruction for people who need help with basic reading, writing, basic math, digital literacy skills, also English language skills. We have ESOL classes going on. We have a citizenship program that helps people study for the citizenship exam. And we have family literacy classes where we work with both the parents and the very young children to make sure that the children are prepared to start to school and that the parents are ready to help them as they go through school. At this point, while we have a stay-at-home order, we're not able to bring new students in, but we are taking waiting lists. So if anyone would like to become a student, email us at info@orangeliteracy.org or call our office and leave a message. And we are checking those regularly and we'll return their call. The number is 919-914-6153.
And again, you can also find out more online at orangeliteracy.org. Alice Denson, thank you so much for being with us today.
Aaron, thank you so much.